This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like to laugh.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tim Heidecker live from Newark. Not Newark. Where am I? Hoboken, New Jersey. New York. Right across the river. Looking over here. Beautiful New York. Looking over at the West Village over here, the Hudson River. What a beautiful city this is. I can't wait to say good morning to my friends back in California. And I'll tell you what. These guys are some of the great guys doing radio, doing sound effects, doing all kinds of work, comedy, music. This I'm talking about Vic and Doug. I'm just going to start with Doug here. Doug Lucenhop back there behind me.
Good morning.
Doug Lucenhop. Good morning to you.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what.
The pounding.
I tell you what. Nobody does it better than Doug. There, huh? I fucking said it.
Thank you.
Nobody does it better except maybe some days. I'm not talking every day. Hey. I'm saying maybe every once in a while at least gets as good as, if not better. Every once in a while, I'm talking about Vic Berger.
Oh,
Vic Berger from Philly area. Not really.
Let's give it what's up, everybody?
And that's the two guys that you got to know in this town, you know? And they do good work. They do good work doing sounds, whatever. So I don't know, you know? I don't know what they do, but they do a good job. So we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about the Mets and the Rangers a little bit later. They're playing hockey and this and that. So we're going to have a good time. Matt, producer Matt there is over there. He's from Long Island.
Hey.
Whatever.
How about it?
How you doing there?
Pretty good.
So we're all doing pretty good, right? I mean, who fucking knows?
Producer
now, we're going to have a good time. We're talking about New York, talk about Hudson River. Whatever.
Matt is. Well, you have a nice breakfast this morning? A good New Jersey breakfast? The pork roll?
Yeah, I'm at the hotel, you know, so they got hotel food. Pretty good. Bagels and whatnot.
Did you get that little ketchup, a little single serving glass bottle of ketchup?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, a little ramekin, whatever. This and that. They fucking put ketchup in that little thing of butter, a little fucking butter in there. And eggs, you know, the whole fucking thing.
Food,
coffee. Fucking don't play that guy.
Hot fudge sauce.
Oh yeah.
Hello, food fan.
What's the deal with that guy, Matt?
A little knob of that butter in there.
What's going on?
He's canceled. He's a bad boy.
Feature man.
He's no good man.
You sent this video, or he had to come out and address his arrest in the 1970s.
Yeah.
We're talking about feature man, guy who makes hungry man dinners.
Yeah.
What was the arrest?
He was
camera.
Evasive. He said it was for sodomy.
He never really addressed
the underage part.
He never addressed the core issue. He never addressed what he was arrested for.
Ugly stuff.
Yeah. If you don't want to
say
it.
But
so what do we? What else do we know?
I believe some random YouTuber. I guess. I don't know. Who posted about it?
We've been trying to see that Tostitos cheddar.
But he went on this. I mean, it was almost like he was just kind of running the clock out.
When they brought me to
into the holding cell, there was a writ. A prosecutor mentioned that they wouldn't be trying me for the crime.
It was just like, you know, just trying to like wait it out, wait the whole video out. But it's not. But he made it sound like they threw out the. They threw it out. They threw out the
it
charges.
Did. It was
but
a technicality.
So this is. It seems like that's where he learned to cook. Like he would get saltines or you know Manila
he
wafers.
Didn't go to prison. He only
in prison?
No, he went to jail.
I was charged for offense to mankind or to a public decency, but there was no evidence. So
I don't know. It was very weird. Still love the guy.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
And this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It was people, the 70s.
People change. Things are different.
It's the 70s. Ay, ay, ay.
It's not
well,
pot,
anyway,
it's a clove
let's
cigarette.
Just.
I had some nudie magazines. And I was showing them to an eighth grader.
But anyway.
Name it pet meds. The best meds your pet can get. Skip the.
God, I fell asleep to YouTube last night at my normal interrogations, and I woke up.
You fall asleep to
interrogations. Yeah, I do.
What are those nightmares like?
They're fine. But this, I had a bad dream because I woke up and I was listening. It just autoplayed to Chris Hansen, like his new show, like interviewing, like you know, breaking up like predators and stuff. So just like that's in my head right now. Pretty cool.
Well. I've had two terrible nights of sleep. I haven't told you guys. Two
what?
Terrible
how can you?
Nights.
How? You're in a nice.
I don't
hotel.
Know what happened. I mean, I'm usually not like a jet lag time change guy who has to, you know, complains about that kind of stuff. I usually roll with it. I get in, I go out, I go up, have dinner, I go back, I go to sleep, whatever. But I get in Sunday. I get in Monday, and settle into this nice hotel. I meet some friends for dinner, have dinner, go up to go to bed. I get into bed around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Now, you know, if I'm on West Coast time, so sure, I was kind of lying around all day on the plane and everything. My body isn't ready for sleep, I guess. I'm up, Vic, Doug, Matt, mm-hmm. Wes, Luke, Sam, audience. I'm up till 3 fucking a.m.
Oh, my God.
3. Just lying in bed, cursing my life. And then I sleep until like 9:30 a.m. Get up. I've got to go do some stuff for this movie I'm doing. This and that. Why is this and that my new catchphrase? This and that.
What not?
I go, all right, tonight's the night. I'm going to conk out. God forbid, right? Give me some rest. I'm up till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. the next night.
But then your time.
I got to shoot today.
But your time, that's only midnight, basically.
Doesn't matter, Vic.
Doesn't matter. Supposed to, I know. Well, then
I
want to
go to
bed
and get my 8.
It's something you're doing, something you're putting in your body.
It is.
Coffee. What are you doing?
It is.
Caffeine?
I'm not comfortable in this hotel. I need to be home with next to my wife, knowing my children are next door, you see. My children moved out.
They moved out?
Yeah, they live in the house next door to us now.
Who lives there with them? Just are they by themselves?
Just them, yeah. Just them.
Did you...
All right, let's take a call. Let's see how that works.
You know who we haven't talked to in years? Matt Van Dam. Remember Matt Van Dam?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Tim, I've heard about...
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
I'll tell you later.
Loud
Hold
and clear.
That thought,
yeah,
Doug.
No worries.
Oh, hi, Matt. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm doing well. How's it going, Tim?
Pretty good. Where are you
Can
calling
you hear
from?
Me? I'm calling from Atlanta. I'm at the stages right now, so I don't want to be too loud. Atlanta! Was hoping that you were going to be joining us down here.
You're at the what?
I'm in Atlanta.
Yes, but you
Working
said...
At the stages.
What's the stages?
Like, yeah, we know what are the stages?
One of the many, many, many stages. We have more than LA now, apparently.
Is it a retirement center? What
Can
is
I
this?
Just pause and guys, let me get it. When you keep on saying the stages,
yeah,
like we know
yeah.
what you're talking about, but we don't.
Well, These are, I think, what's this, what are they called now? I can't remember. Studios, you know?
Oh, sound stages.
I can't remember the, yeah, sound stages. I can't remember the name of this one now. They have so many, and they changed the name recently too. So.
Oh, okay. So you're on set.
It's
like
a, oh, it's a set. Oh.
Not set. No. Preparing. Prep. Yeah.
Okay.
Prepping.
Are you making a Nike commercial?
No. Making these new shoes look old.
Ooh. So what project are you working on?
Oh, I can't really say, but I was hoping that you would end up on it because it's got a lot of your friends involved with it. So I was thinking maybe you were going to end up down here, but you're in New York, so I guess not.
Damn Apple.
But what opportunity am I missing out on?
It should be pretty funny stuff. Some funny people.
I love Batman.
That's about all I could say.
Give me one name.
I'm like,
no, one name will get me in a lot of trouble. But goodness. Anyways,
why is this guy crossing the picket line? What's going on with that?
Oh, let's hear about that.
That's what I want to talk about. So that's what I was going to talk about. So first off, the last strike, right? What do we get? Reality television. And what did that bring us? Donald Trump. And now, what's the big thing? AI. So will this strike bring us our new AI overlords? That's my big question.
Oh, AI president.
Mm. President. I like that.
President AI. Well, I remember how... Oh, go ahead.
Ow. I don't know. I have thoughts on the strike, and we're going to get into that later in the show. That's all I can say right now. I'm gonna be confused, and I'm gonna make allude to things, and then really not follow through with any actual information.
I actually shouldn't really say.
It would be good for the show, but I shouldn't say.
Well, I'm glad to see that you're still going, and that you guys are still up and running. I was worried. Don't know how everything's gonna. You know, it's new territory, I guess.
No, Doug and I have tried to start a little thing going here, but Tim does not let us do it. We're trying to get a union happening here.
What little thing?
Just a union that we've been talking
union,
about.
It drops union.
Yeah. So,
hey, I like your Maya Deren.
Let's do this.
Right? I like your Maya Deren shirt, by the way. Oh. Did you get it at one of her concerts?
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, I did. I'm a huge fan of her. She rocks. Really loud, but great stuff.
Sorry.
Let's do this. But let's thank you, Matt. Hi.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Hi, this is DJ Doug Pound in your mix to let you know that you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's Delicious Meals. Factor is fresh and never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, or most importantly, Vegan. Of course, I signed up for vegan and it was great. My favorites were the 3-bean chili and the tangy citrus tofu bowl. It's fast, easy, and delicious. I also like getting extra pep in my step with their wellness shots. The apple, lemon, ginger, cayenne. Oh baby, that's a good spice right there. When you don't have time to cook or you just don't feel like it, Factor eliminates all the hassles of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Let's do the city of the day.
The day.
City of the day. All right, city of the day.
Now I'm getting excited.
The city of the day is brought to you by. Hang on, working out the tech here, folks. I'm not All right, Matt, I just opened the fake ads. I'm not seeing anything here. Fake ads. Sorry to give it away, but...
Doug usually does that.
Well, yeah, I didn't write one. We're on strike.
Mm-hmm. No fake. What's ad. That?
I'm on strike, so there's no... I didn't write a fake ad.
How are you on strike? We're not... This...
I
are you in the WGA?
I stand in solidarity.
Yeah. All right. Well, this isn't a WGA signatory show.
Not yet.
You're actually... Can I just point out that Doug and Vic and Matt and me, we're owners, we're producers of this show. We own this show. It's our show. So we're not, when you talk about like forming a union.
I got to go on
you're
strike.
Talking about
union within a union. Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about forming a union against your own interests.
It's not fair.
Because you guys own the show.
We're for the people.
Just so people understand. You know? I don't know if this is not clear to people. But yes, this is Office Hours Live. I don't even think it has With Tim Heidecker in it anymore, is it? What's the official name of this show?
Technically it does, but...
Okay. Let's even if it does.
Yeah, when I tell people the name of the show, I tend to leave that out.
Well, that's the top of our demands, but yeah, we'll get to that during negotiations.
But you're going to be negotiating... Just so you know, the legal ownership of this show, as far as I know, as far as I understand, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, is this a four-person partnership.
It's an equally owned LLC.
Right. So people think that you work for me. It's not the case that we are four partners in this flailing enterprise.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Well, I just see all these.
You didn't know that. How are you going to play dumb? How are you going to play dumb like that?
That water's real still behind you there, Tim.
It's a still image. By the way, I support the writers, but that doesn't mean that this show doesn't go on.
Well, can't we support the writers too?
What?
Can we support them too?
Of course. But I mean, I think the WGA would say that you could continue to do what you're doing now because this is, am I wrong in this, Matt? That this isn't a WGA signatory show.
I don't want to be a scab.
You're not being a scab by writing a fake commercial for our stupid YouTube show that no one watches. What are we going to do?
I would side with the producers. As the producer,
we'll take a vote on
my allegiance
we'll
is to
out.
The producers, such as myself.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, listen, if you want to ask me if I can be candid here for a second, do I have permission to be candid? Can we talk as business partners right now?
Yeah.
Doug? And I you know I care about you, and I you know I love you. I say it to you almost every day.
Well, look, we love you too, but we gotta do what's right.
Well, I'm fine sacrificing the ad.
If that's the bargaining chip
you're trying to use here.
No, we're not.
I think that could go away, and I think we'd all be all right.
Well, look, Vic and I are starting up a union. It's called the Drops Union 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm. Or 3-2-1. I don't know which one I go.
Well, why don't you guys figure out the name of it? Matt, what are we gonna, we do need to have a fake ad here, I think.
Isn't that weird, though? Sorry, real quick.
Well, why don't you whip one up with AI?
I'll get one from AI.
Isn't it weird how, like scabs, they cross the picket line, they go through the picket line, but when you have a scab, you pick it.
Matt, are you writing an ad right now?
Yeah. I've got an
Does
AI.
That make no
that
sense?
That is a good point,
right?
Do you think that's a coincidence or is there a connection to
there's
that?
There's got to be a connection. There's probably some old type.
What's the question?
Like scabs, they cross the picket line, but when you have a scab, you tend to pick it. You pick at it. You know, you pull
it. Yeah, I get it. Listen, yeah. We have a paid advertiser that Doug did not write for.
Oh, we have a paid advertiser?
It's a paid advertiser, so we had the copy written by AI, and we had an image generated just now by AI.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wait, you just did all that right now?
It's fast. This AI stuff takes seconds.
All right. I see it right in front of me. Is this it? Justin Bieber microwave meals?
Yeah, give him some music, would you guys?
Ooh, internet went out.
Uh-oh. For real?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, but yeah, that's just my...
Mine's out, too.
Tim, look, I see
Zoom
Tim.
Zoom just crashed.
What happened?
The internet's out here.
The rain.
Crashed.
Everything went down?
I see Tim, but...
Tim's still alive.
Oh, Tim is still alive? Oh, Jesus.
And we are still alive.
I can hear you.
Well, maybe he's all by himself.
If the show is up, the show is up. But
up there it goes.
Internet went out on what I could see. Man.
I'm still here. I can still hear you.
Oh,
still broadcasting.
If Wes, no,
are we
if,
going?
If Wes can confirm our show's still going, we should run the ad.
Yeah, show's still going.
Just,
show's
AI
still
just going. Wrote.
What's not going? I'm confused.
The Zoom.
The Zoom and our personal computers.
Our personal computers have stopped.
Oh.
Having internet.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, the
well,
second line is down. The show is still up, though.
So, are we? Yeah, Wes, does anyone know if we're live?
We are still live.
I think Wes went down, too.
Is it bad weather out
we're
there?
We're still live. Okay,
let's
it.
Keep it going.
Yeah. There.
All right. Apologies, everybody. All right. Today's City of the Day is sponsored by Justin Beaver Microwave Meals. Are you looking for a delicious and convenient meal that's ready in minutes? Look no further than Justin Beaver Microwave Meals. Justin Beaver Microwave Meals come served inside a beaver carcass. All of our traditional home-style meals are overloaded with high-quality ingredients and packed with flavor, making them the perfect choice for a quick and satisfying lunch or dinner. Pop one beaver carcass in the microwave, and in a few minutes, you'll have a hot and tasty meal ready to chew and swallow. Whether you're in the mood for a healthy pasta dish, a savory meat entree, or a light and refreshing salad, there's something for everyone. Our microwave meals served inside a beaver carcass are also perfect for those on the go or with busy schedules. Try one of our Justin Beaver microwave meals today and taste the difference for yourself. With convenient packaging, easy preparation, and delicious beaver carcass flavors, you won't be disappointed with Justin Beaver. Mmm, yummy.
And we had let me see if I can get the computer to AI to put together like a song here.
A jingle.
A little jingle.
AI jingle.
Let's see.
Okay.
Hold on.
Boom boom. I love to eat tooted carcass. Meal I only eat frozen in his eye. Only just a beaver, it's just a beaver gun. I want my meal in a carcass of put that beaver ready in the stand 10 minutes, it's Justin Beaver time.
Wow, Justin Beaver time.
Well, look, if that can do that just great. As good a job as I can do, then maybe I should just hang it up.
Uh-huh. Just gotta admit it when you're done.
My freezer has my microwave meals, mock and cheese beans, and beans, chicken, parmesan, they're all there, they're Justin Beaver. Meals, wrapped in the carcass of a beaver. You can microwave them, Justin Beaver, yummy.
Wow. That's a good one.
Who made that one?
That was AI. Both were AI.
Gee, mini.
Wonderful. They're making progress.
All right,
progress
so does
here.
This mean we have no City of the Day?
I think we're accidentally promoting how useful AI is.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if I can get on back on Zoom. We
does anybody
have
some sun protection for your president, please?
Well, let's Matt. If I don't want to just I can vamp for a while on all sorts of things and talk to the guys. So if you want to just let that happen in the background and feel free to interrupt me when we get back online.
Will do.
Does that sound like a plan?
Got it.
Lot of things going on. I know we just had the breaking news this morning that the Proud Boys.
Oh yeah.
Are going bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What were they charged with, Vic?
You know what? I didn't even look into it too much.
Sedition.
Is it sedition?
Seditious conspiracy.
Wow.
Now, is that the kind of thing that they hang you for?
I mean,
or is that like a community service? Like, what is the scale of punishment for?
I going to federal prison, I would think, for something. I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like sedition and what's the other word that's like sedition? That's
treason.
Oh, yeah, treason.
Treason. That's like a penalty. That's like a death penalty.
You gotta walk the plank.
Yeah, treason is sedition. I don't think many people have been actually convicted of it. Like it's like a handful, from what I understand, in America ever. You know.
Yeah. So there's Enrique Tarrio, and who else? Mike Biggs or whatever.
Oh, is he gone? I didn't miss it.
Biggs. Yeah. Who else got in there in that mess?
Yeah. Oh, we can't. Our Wi-Fi's still down.
Proud Boys leader. I got it here. Oh, and the good news for Ed Sheeran is he did not infringe on the copyright of Let's Get It On.
Whoa. Now that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you got Enrico Tarrio, Ethan Nordine, Joseph Biggs, Zachary Rell, and Dominic Pizzola.
Hmm.
Any of these are the guys that came to your door, Vic?
Joe Biggs and Enrique Torres are the ones who, like, made it happen.
MAGA.
They were behind
it. Really?
Yeah. Definitely.
They sent they sent the stooge to your house.
Yeah, and then they gloated about it, and they talked about it on Tim Pool's show.
Yeah. More.
Very dumb.
Pim Tool.
Yeah. It's nice to not really think about those guys anymore.
Yeah, they're kind of out of done. The game.
Yeah. Nothing for Gavin, right? Gavin McGinnis didn't get nothing to do with it.
No, didn't he like disavow all those people or something?
He claims to, but he's still involved. He's just not the public leader. I feel like Enrique Torres is like the fall guy. You know, it's like the...
Well, he's just a t-shirt salesman.
Yeah, just that's right. Yeah.
Didn't they say he was working with...
That's right. He was working with as an informant.
I'm getting word from Matt. Tim, you're still alive, but our net went down.
Looks like our net might be back up.
We're back.
Mm. Woo!
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow. It's folks that don't live in Southern California, I mean, what's the weather like out there? It's bad?
Yeah, it's not good.
The rain was coming down hard again.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
It's
so I think whenever it rains, whenever there's any kind of not a perfect day of weather, our Spectrum cable tends to fail us badly. And they did fail us badly. And we're going to be looking into it. You got to say, Vic and Doug, if you're going to rank the funniest moments in American history.
Mm-hmm. Say what?
We should rank the funniest moments in American history. Like, not in terms of comedy, but like in history.
Uh-huh.
In like, what are the funniest moments?
Like unintentional humor.
Yeah. Not like when Carson had on Robin Williams. Like,
or if like James Corden in his karaoke carpool kind of thing. It's not scripted or, you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another example than the one that I think is the funniest.
The one you have is really good.
I mean, it's when Donald Trump said "stand by" and "stand back."
Because I think in his mind is like "stand by," you know, get away, he's to the side.
Like maybe another example would be Dan Quayle writing a potato, or the kid writing potato on the blackboard correctly, and then Dan Quayle being like, "No, no, you spelled it wrong," and he like adds an E to it or something.
And then that's all you think of. That's all anybody knows about him. Like one, 30-second moment in history, and the very first word that comes to mind when you say Quayle is potato. You should just live it up, make some potato chips or something.
Spell it that way.
Well, maybe when Bush did the shoe throw.
Oh, that was. I mean, that was pretty impressive. Yeah. But that was like, but that was from like a.
Wasn't that? You're thinking like presidential gaffes here?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or anything maybe.
You know who would have some hot takes on this? Mr. Bobcat Goldthwait, who just joined us.
Oh, Bobcat! Yeah, bring him, Bobcat! Bring him in. Bobcat Goldthwait is with us. My old friend.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear the cat sounds?
Guys, drop just want to make sure you hear the cat sounds.
I'm a cat in heat, so that makes sense.
Wow, you recognize that? Hmm, you've heard this before.
Yeah, I've used that a lot. Yeah. You know the
oh yeah.
I don't know.
That's amazing. I didn't know where it's come from. Cool.
Can I speak? I mean, can I just say something?
I haven't said shit. I'm waiting for you guys to sort it out.
Sorry.
Bobcat, your publicist reached out to me. I don't know how she got my email. I don't know how that happened. But they got to me. They said, can Bobcat come on? And I said, well, he was just on. This is unusual.
Yeah. Do you mean you like
thought about it for?
Do you don't have people back or people don't want to come back? What's
It's unusual. Hey, yes, you're right. It's unusual that people want to come back. I've never had that happen before.
Well, I very rarely am I asked back to talk shows, so that's true.
But then I realized that we just scratched the surface with you. I remember saying that when we had you in, we were like, yeah, we could have talked to you for another hour.
Well, maybe. Thanks. Well, I'm plugging. I have a brand new album out called it's called Soldier for Christ, and that's what I'm promoting. I was trying to cash in on the Brad Stein mania. You know,
did you know Brad Stein back in the day?
No. I only from the show, but you know, I think there's a whole, you know, Christian nationalist audience that just Jim Brewer and Brad is going for, and it's time that Bob Scratch Goldfarb jumps in and gets some of that money.
Well, because Vic, you sent a new clip of Stein with who was the comedian?
It was Chris Elliott. Chris Elliott. 1991 on MTV. And Stein was going for it. He had his wavy hair going on.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know too much about Stein, but it feels like he probably was a traditional, you know, club comic back in the early 90s with everybody else.
Yeah. And apparently and in 2003 is when it happened. He had his big conversion.
Okay. Oh. Well, that makes sense. Cause what I'm saying is in the 90s, he's like working the Comedy Store and doing shows with, you know, I don't know who would he be doing shows with then?
Some sort of sexual pest or predator, because that's the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Hey, if
that's
you like
prerogative.
Getting, yeah, if you want to get finger banged without consent, try the Comedy Store.
Yeah. Richard Jenny. I don't know if Richard Jenny was a
okay.
I don't think he was a pest.
We'll see tonight at the Stress Factory.
But he so Stein is working that circuit and then probably doesn't go anywhere with it.
No.
And he finds the new angle. He finds the Christian angle.
It's all about angles, you know. That's why I had my character. I was like, you know what? People that seem to be challenged haven't been taken down a notch. So yeah. I need to do this persona. No, the character came out of being really nervous and I felt that it would always be a lie to go, hey, it's nice to be here. You know, where does the socks, that extra sock go in the dryer? So I kind of just let it all hang out when I was doing the persona. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that you enjoyed our Brad Stein work last week.
We got the clip. You want to see it? You want to see the
is this some new? What? Is he Chris bringing Elliott? The fire?
Every day.
Oh, this is pre-conversion.
Every day,
Brad
Vic
Stein.
Unearths a new Stein clip.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I got to stop this.
Do you guys want to see it?
Or? If we say his name one more time, he's going to appear. I mean, really, he's going to just drive over.
Well, the irony was we played a clip from him last week, and Stein got us banned. Where they shit canned the episode. They blocked us,
canceled us,
and like Stein's whole routine is built around, you know, everyone's too sensitive now, and you can't say anything, and people can't be made fun of. I was like, well, I was goofing on you for 20 minutes, and you banned us. You blocked our video. Let's see him with Chris Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure. It's you, man. I knew this was going to happen. It's my big break, and you're here again. I was supposed to be the new guy. It was supposed to be my show. I was supposed to be the new balding, bearded guy. It was supposed to be me, but they gave it to you, man. And who's this guy you got playing your dad? He is so phony. God, like anybody's going to believe that.
Huh. I'm sorry, was that Siegfried or Roy?
Ooh. That was his big shot. That was Stein's big shot, and he kind of flops.
He's pretty aggressive and in your face. I'm not a fan of that kind of humor.
No.
I like people being irreverent, but I don't like them pushing it. No, I wish I had that kind of energy. I don't have that. Oh, I did, I guess, at one point, but
I like that. I like that. Even in the time where that look he has is probably semi-appropriate, Chris Elliott still makes fun of the way he looks. Like,
exactly.
Like, I guess that's what everybody looked like back then. Yeah. No, you look like Siegfried or Roy.
Wait, which one's
I
the
bet
cool
Chris
one?
Elliott fucking hated that guy.
Yeah. Have you had Chris on the show?
No, I've met him several times. He's an interesting cat.
Yeah, he's awesome. But he definitely is uncomfortable. I love him to pieces, but he's definitely uncomfortable. You know, if you say
I can't decide if I should tell the story about Chris.
Probably not.
He just does. He does like he'll do bits with you on a level where you're like, I think I'm done with this bit now. And he'll keep going, you know.
You want to tap out?
I love it.
Yeah. I think I'm good now. Thank you.
Even he's Tim like,
I'm so
can't
depressed.
Take it.
I'm so depressed. You know, and you're I don't know you that well, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Nothing brings me joy. Life's a black void. All right. Well, let's bring out the birthday cake.
Yeah. Hey, can I talk to you about this the WGA strike? I don't know. I just wanted to get. I didn't.
Sure.
I didn't know it. I don't know what you think about it. I think it's terrible what they're doing. I think these writers. The writers.
Yeah. These. They're so soft. You know.
Poor babies. The poor babies aren't making enough money.
I feel.
No,
that
I'm just kidding.
No, it's. It's insane because, I have a friend and she's been a showrunner on some shows and she's thinking about becoming a nurse, you know, because back in the day you would do 28 to 30 episodes. So that's what you did for a year. And then it would, in the rerun, you got money. But now when season is 8 to 10 episodes and you spend 8 months on 8 to 10 episodes and then the next day it goes to Hulu or it goes to, you know, one of these other and you don't get any of the money. That's just I always bum out when like people naively side with these major corporations. Like they think like when the Friends cast were getting $1 million an episode, people were like going like they were mad at the cast. And it's like, yeah, that money. Warner Brothers deserves that money.
Yeah, how do you side with the big corporations? That's disgusting. But here's my devil's advocate. Here's my devil's advocate, which might be the new name of this show.
Strike!
I might be rebranding Bill Maher style. Welcome to Devil's Advocate.
That's why I switched.
I'm your host, Tim Heidecker. I'm not working with Doug and Vic anymore.
This is like woke central.
They have their own show called The Drop Zone, which I love. You guys should check out The Drop Zone on the Tim Heidecker channel. But this is the Devil's.
We call it The Drop Zone because I dropped them to do my own show.
Drop. But because you worked a lot in late night. And there was a story the other day that came out about James Corden. And James Corden, who had his big exit, you know, his big lavish, very well orchestrated, choreographed, I've got to go home. I can't. I've got to be back with me family in London, you know. It's for my children. And it's just been so hard to not be there for my son. Well, this story comes out that the show was costing CBS millions of dollars. The show was losing money like crazy. Did you see that story?
No, but I like that he portrays himself as some Dickian, like he's Oliver. Dickens character. Well, like, I've got to get back to the
I've
people.
I've got to go back, you know, I can't. But the funny thing is he's got this like, I guess he's got like teenage son. He's like,
okay,
I've not been able to spend time with me son and I've got to go back and be
Do
with
you know
him.
What?
And,
but, you know what teenagers love the most? Hanging out with their parents.
Especially when they're James Corden.
No, but you know what the other thing is? Like they've been living in LA now for the past whatever 10 years. And so now he's like, we're moving to London.
Yeah, we're going to
Right? So if you're a teenager, if you're
all
like
their friends.
If you're like 15 years old, you're like, what are we doing? Like I live here. This is like where all my friends are. You know,
are you ready? Are you ready to get damp and cold?
Yeah. But my point is, like, and I, again, caveat being, I support the WGA. I support writers. I am a writer. I'm not in the WGA for, I don't know why, but, and I would go on strike tomorrow if I was, if I had something to strike against, if I was working in the entertainment industry, if I was, I mean, I'm on this movie right now. And if SAG was like, we're striking, I'd be like, see, yeah, of course. But I would feel a little, I don't know how secure I would feel if I was a late night comedy writer, because I feel like those jobs are, I don't even think about AI. Fuck that. Like, AI is not going to replace anything on that level for years. But like, can't these networks just put on like old Seinfeld or like, you know what I mean? Like, can they put anything on those slots? Cause those shows feel like they're dying.
Yeah. They're already on the bubble, and all the hosts are aware of that too, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting it's not a fault of anyone, but sometimes you can switch back and forth and they're doing the same joke. They're not stealing or anything. It's just that it's today's events. So there's, you know, there's only a certain amount of hot takes you're going to have on it. So yeah, I just would like to see more white guys having late night shows.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Let's what does a middle-aged white guy have to say? Let's split that open.
I just think the format of those shows have gotten so stale. I mean, of course, yes, more diversity would be fantastic.
Yeah, but
like,
you know, you're competing with, you know, clips and, you know, and all that stuff. So a lot of our, when I was directing on Kimmel, even way back when I was there, we were making content to go viral. Do you know what I mean? That was right. The goal of our filmed act one bits. You know, we were hoping that they would. Jimmy's always been a very, very smart guy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and those shows aren't the thing. If you go back and watch old Carson, like, it's most of the time shitty. Like, most of the time it's not shitty. It's just like, yeah, you guys are doing a show every day. What do you expect? Like, it's just
90 minutes too. That show is 90 minutes. But you know, who's that guy? Is it Crowder? Is that the guy who just got? He was showing, he was putting his genitals on people's shoulders and stuff. And I got really nervous because my last day of directing Kimmel, I was like wearing a little skirt, like a kilt kind of thing. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And during the commercial break, I ran down and I put my penis on Jimmy's desk and I lifted up my skirt and Jimmy's busy with his notes. And I remember Dane Cook was the other guest. And I go, Jimmy. Oh. He's like, what? And I go, does this look okay? And then I ran back in the booth and I'm like, 3, 2, 1, and we're on the air. And Jimmy's just kind of shocked. He goes,
1, 2,
so,
3.
We're back.
Yikes.
And I also on that episode, I had cut a bunch of, I filmed a bunch of shots of me being bored and dressed in different characters sitting in the audience. Yeah. So like Jimmy would do a joke that would lay there and I would just be eating a sandwich or in the audience. I kind of went out with a bang. I was like,
yeah, but I would, those shows would be so much better if you, there are people like you in there doing that on a weekly basis, not just saving it for the last night you're there. Like you got a show on TV, like fuck around and have, and be like, do what we do on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's have technical difficulties every night. let's have me yelling at Doug and Vic for their disrespectful behavior.
The delay.
Let's have calls. Well, like if I'm on the picket line, I would be like with the late night writers. I'd be like, hey guys, like, let's definitely pick it and get what we want, but let's try to do something different with this show because it's not working. It's not working.
Yeah. Well, those are
no
two
one's watching.
Different. Yeah. Well, but I don't think it's the lack of imagination or the creativity. I just think the format is you know, it is, you know.
And there's it's like an orthodoxy to it now that feels very hard to break.
Yeah, and it's like you know, it's a line from my act. You know, I'm a VHS comedian in a TikTok world. You know, and that's the equivalent. You know, it's the same.
Yeah. Hey, and that's who's running. But go ahead. Sorry, we can move on.
Oh no, no. I was just thinking.
That's that's my devil's advocate chunk of the show. My new rule. My Bill Maher new rule.
Devil's advocate. Woo! So as we're going out the door, I was saying we didn't. I was trying to think of like Bowie stories because I was like, I didn't even get to Bowie. Yeah. So I became friends with David because he saw this like concert of mine where I'm like in mascara and it's all runny and I'm just screaming and I'm in a leisure suit and he called about 3 or 4 in the morning and he was kind of hammered. And it was back when you had answering machines and my brother gets up and my brother was sleeping in the room with the answering machine. He goes, some asshole called last night and said he was David Bowie.
Oh, my God.
And then a very sober Bowie called the next day and he was apologetic and he was really sweet. And he invited me to go see. Remember the Glass Spider tour? Do you remember that thing?
Oh, yeah.
It was like there's dancers and all this. So me and Tom Kenny go and. After the show, he's like, what'd you think? And I was like, it reminded me of Pippin. And he goes, what? I go, it looked like we were watching Pippin. Tom thought it was more like Guys and Dolls. And you see him like trying to figure out, what the fuck is this?
What's
someone's
Pippin?
Busting my balls. Pippin, the musical.
It's like a musical, Doug.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a Bob Fosse musical.
It's like a musical everyone knows about.
It was a Tony Award winning musical. Oh, never mind. So I could see him like going, what is this feeling I'm having? Like someone's making fun of me to my face. And he just threw his head back and laughed. And we started like he'd come over to my rumpus room. Yeah. He'd come over to my rumpus room a lot where I had all this musical equipment and stuff. And my brother's
in LA?
Like, Yeah. My brother's like, remember the day I played drums with Bowie? And I remember that. But I also remember one day where I wouldn't let Bowie sing or anything. Like he was putting a guitar on. And I was like, I go, no, man, you should play drums. Why don't you play drums? Just, I made him play drums.
I could do a very good vocal. I got a wonderful voice. I don't know if you heard my voice.
Everybody like, yeah, la la la. Just we need someone on the skins. So yeah, I think that was why we had this weird friendship.
Recording of that?
No, but you know what I lost was we were gonna do like a Martin and Lewis act, you know, where you know I'm trying to sing for these nice people and you keep interrupting me, you know, and
he'd be a perfect Dean Martin.
And we were even going for it, and then I screwed up, you know what? Because he wanted to do venues that were like 2,000 seats. And I go, they're going to kill me. You know, you have to go to my venue and then you walk out on stage. But now I would have done it in a heartbeat because that was like before I was open for Nirvana and just having things thrown at me.
Would that have been the whole show? You guys just kind of riffing on stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had set some music down, and this is where it's really bad. He sent me a cassette of music, and I lost it.
Oh. Is that the original cassette?
Yes.
What? No,
isn't that insane? But yeah, I remember one day we were in the, he was recording, and I was in the studio, and he tells me the story of all the young dudes. He was I was driving in my car, and I heard that Mott the Hoople was breaking up, and I thought, if I could go home and write them a hit song, hopefully they'll stay together. And I go, so you just wrote a hit song? He goes, yeah. I go, well, why don't you bust some of that shit out here? Because we are in the studio. He started laughing. He goes, I forgot which is the commercial knob. He started turning knobs. But
right.
Yeah, so we had this.
That's crazy. I don't know much about Mott the Hoople. It was like, who cared about Mott the Hoople before all the young dudes? You know what I mean?
Who cares?
Like, were they a band that anyone knew about? I guess they were.
Yeah, I'm sure. When was that? Is it the late 60s, early 70s? I know that they had hits in England.
Early 70s.
It wasn't
72, okay. Something like that.
Yeah.
But all the young dudes, that's the one. That's the one you want from Mott the Hoople.
That's the jam of all jams.
Yeah. So did you stay in touch with Bowie? Did you guys fall out or what?
We didn't have a fallout, but when he got married, I didn't see him as much anymore. He would really just come over the house and hang around and stuff. And
that's amazing.
It was really strange. I remember once I was thinking of this story. He was at playing Dodger Stadium, and who's the gal that's on was on Roseanne?
Roseanne Barr.
No, the gal, the plucky youth. No, one of the daughters, the one that was all deadpan. What was her name?
From Sarah Gilbert.
Gilbert.
Wow.
Is that it? The one is all deadpan. Yeah. So she's like, "Oh, what are you doing here?" I go, "Oh, I'm friends with Dave." And she goes, "Yeah, right." And her eyeballs roll in the back of her head, right? So then David, during the show, he goes, "I'd like to wish my good friend Bobcat Goldthwait a very, very happy birthday." And I turn around shit. And I look at her, I'm like, "Suck it." But it was even crazier because Guns N' Roses, you know, I had said you know, the song One in a Million, I did a joke like on Comic Relief. That's how old these stories are. And it was like, I said, One in a Million. It has a lyric. It says, "Immigrants and faggots, you come to this country and think you do as you please and spread disease." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm not familiar with this portion of American history when the gay population moved here from some European bloc country we don't know about, like Homo Slavia." And I said, "Yeah." I said, because it had a warning label, I said, "Warning, this album contains reactionary horse shit to cause controversy and sell more records."
Right.
And then Axl Rose was like, "Fuck Mr. Bobcat Goldthwait." And then my response back was, although I do think he was attractive, seeing that IV drug users are in a high risk group, I'll pass on the fuck.
I am not a gay man.
Whoops. I didn't mean to hit that. Sorry.
So there's the big beef between me and Guns N' Roses. And they were all there
look at
except
him now.
Axl.
Yeah.
Wow. I know. Boy, I feel bad for him.
Where's the beef?
And he's the whole, all the Guns N' Roses are like two rows in front of me except Axl. And then when Bowie says, "I like to wish Bob can't go to that birthday," they go, "Boo."
Oh shit. Their team back then, Axl. They got to stay
in
line.
Yeah, they had Axl's back. Yeah, yeah. Before it's like, you'll get $250,000 a night / all you got to do is play the songs you wrote. You don't even have to look at them. He's like, "No, man, I can't do it."
Jesus. Yeah, I saw him singing. Well, who was that? He was at the Lisa Marie Presley funeral singing that song. Man, that was rough.
Oh, yeah. Axl was singing.
Was it Axl? Really?
It was Axl at the piano singing like, "In the cold November rain."
Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
Pretty much like that. You have it, Doug?
You got some. This is it. Here it comes.
Sorry, 8 more bars. Bad.
I mean, he's at a funeral. Like.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. But darling, when I hold you, you don't
know I'll stay the same. Sorry, it's
You know what?
It's not fun to laugh. Funny, not great to laugh.
And there's a body right in front of him too. So it's like, what the
hell? He's hitting these high notes and he's not getting there.
Please.
It's a fine line. God. It's a fine line of that really working and really not working, right?
Yeah,
like
I'm surprised
it's
that
so
she didn't
close
come up.
And yet so
right, she didn't sit up and go.
Sit up, yeah, yeah. It's like put her fingers in her ears and go back into the casket.
Trying to raise the dead. This worked for me a few times. Let's see if it works tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when things like, well, obviously so long ago, but you know, there's sometimes things like I don't have a ill feeling in my body for that guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when, what was that? Dear Evan Hansen, which is it was a musical about a kid that dies and then the other kid writes as him, which is also the plot of World's Greatest Dad movie I made. Right. And where do they get these ideas from? So I don't really feel it was stolen or anything, but I went to see the musical, and at one point there was like even like a line that was in the movie, and I do believe it was a coincidence, but all of a sudden I just go, God damn it! Like I yelled in the theater really loud.
Yeah.
When that movie came out and it was bashed so hard, I really didn't. I had no ill will. I did, you know what I mean? I was like, I felt bad. It's interesting when you go from resenting someone to.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to like. That's a dick move to be like, ha ha, good. Good.
Yeah,
that should fit. That's not a good feeling.
Because if I do think that it's a little bit like my movie, then I should have given him a heads up. It's like, dude, that movie's not going to make any money.
Yeah. hey, Bobcat, listen, this has been a great chat. I don't know how to say goodbye to you. We do have a musical guest on the schedule, and I don't want to be disrespectful to her. Do you understand?
Please. I understand completely. I just thank you for having me on. I was here to plug the album, and folks can get it on Pretty Good Records. There you go. How's
that? Tell me the name of the record. Tell me the name of the record again.
It's Soldier for Christ on Eugene Merman's label, and it's a division of Sub Pop. It's really rad.
Can you get it in stores?
The vinyl, you can order the vinyl. There is going to be vinyl.
Okay.
I'm just trying to wrap it up. I don't want.
Any skits on it?
Oh, no, Vic knows how to wrap it up. One more thing.
I know how to wrap it up in 10 minutes.
You know what's in it is I found recordings of Tom Kenny and I when we were like 15 years old doing songs, and so those are on the album. So Tom Kenny
does
and
he
I,
get points on the record then?
He gets a little taste, yeah, but you know, I think for two 15 year old guys to write original songs that are not about boobs or poop, I think that is that gives you an idea where we were, you know, it was the vigilante.
That's worth the price of the record right there. Get some teenage ew, what is that?
Just poop.
Okay. Oh, proof. All right, Bobcat. Well, next time we're all together in LA, let's have you in again. Let's have you on for the third time.
Yes. Thanks, Bobcat.
Thank you, Bobcat.
Thanks, guys.
Love
you so much. Love doing the show.
Thank you.
Love you. Bye bye.
Boy. What's better than Bobcat, right,
guys? Just a human being, and I go to the bathroom like everybody else.
And I want to apologize to our musical guest who's been so patient.
Yeah.
Black belt Eagle Scout is here. What?
Doesn't know what she walked into.
Yeah, are you?
I was very
KP,
aware.
Can I?
Okay.
Are you
keep
okay?
The headphones off the whole time?
Oh yeah, I'm good.
Are you okay? No, be honest with me.
I'm very okay.
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 It's hard to run this show from Hoboken. Let me just say, and I don't know how I'm doing. I don't know what's happening, but I do want to welcome you to the Office Hours community and to the Office Hours audience and to the Office Hours studio. And can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be performing for us today?
Yeah. I'm going to sing a song called Don't Give Up, and I have a band. It's called Black Belt Eagle Scout, and this is our song.
And why don't we do this?
Okay.
I'm going to turn into, this is NPR Sounds Eclectic. This is my new show. We're going to hear a new track. And when we come back, and then let me start again. Hold on. Can I just start again, Matt? Can we roll back?
Take two. We'll roll it back. We're rolling.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Office Hours Sounds Eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
Up next. Stop it, would you? Let me just get through this.
All right,
hi, everybody.
Take three.
You're listening
Take four.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. You're listening to Office Hours Sounds Eclectic. Up next, we're going to hear a new song from Black Belt Eagle Scout. Then we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back after the break to talk to KP about her influences and everything else. And we'll take more of your calls on Office Hours Becomes Eccentric. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Take it away, KP.
Where to listen, guide us all.
sounded good from Jersey. I'll tell you that much. Sounded good from Jersey. In fact, everybody out here in the street, they're loving it too. All my Jersey guys freaking out. All right, we'll be back in 5 with more show.
This is your swinging DJ, Dr. K, coming at you again with 24 solid gold hours of back-to-back Panthermania. After 10 weeks at the top of the charts, this rock'em sock'em group is still burning up the airwaves, super hits.
Hi.
Hi, this is Bill Maher, speaking to you from the undisclosed location I like to call Club Random. I'm here to tell you about a few things. First off, Office Hours has now moved to its own dedicated YouTube channel. Go subscribe now at youtube.com/Office Hours Live. Secondly, did you know you can get another full hour of this show and so much more with Office Hours Plus? Head on over to patreon.com/Office Hours Live to check that shit out. And remember, it's not pot, it's a clove cigarette.